couple of times, and you might recall when he gets here, but he's going to speak that Wednesday night. I'm excited that he's able to join us. Brent Marwelli will be here. Exodus chapter 20. Let's go there. Take a look. Exodus chapter 20. We're looking at verse 14. Oh, one more to add on the list there. As you can see, Liza and her family aren't here, and some of the Midlac people aren't here. They are with the HSMA group, the music group that they are involved in. They are doing a tour. Tonight, they're sharing a concert in Indiana, and then they'll be traveling back late night getting home. So pray for the HSMA people, Homeschool Music Association, which that stands for, safety for them to return home. Tonight. So, Exodus 20. All right, here's what the Bible says in verse number 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And we've been looking at the Ten Commandments and how God wants us to consider them, still use them today as God's moral law for our generation, still works today in 2024. And we've completed six studies on them so far: the right priority, the right worship, the right language, the right remembrance of the holy, the right family relations, the right respect for others. And here we're finishing up the right morals as God wants us to do so. We've looked at definition of morals is simply our conduct and social behavior amongst each other. Right morals help protect us and others, for that matter. As we exercise that, wrong morals can confuse, dull, and last week we saw can bring devastation to our lives, which it does in people's lives when they choose wrong morals to follow through. Wrong morals that we've looked at in Scripture that are identified: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, concupiscence, all through Scripture and the New Testament. Specifically, some of these are what we looked at, how God wants us to avoid and not get into those. We saw God's order for sexual relationships. Commitment is the beginning between a male and female, with innocence before marriage, meaning not having had relationships physically, sexually with anybody else, monogamous for the remainder of their life. Cohabitation follows marriage only. Boy, if I could do anything to change people's minds, if we did this, that would change a lot of things in life, don't you think? If they would just not do that, I don't know, maybe adoptions, kids that need adopted certainly would be a smaller group of that, I believe. But certainly God wants to use the right morals to help get things off right. Cohabitation follows marriage only. Husband and wife roles begin then, not before. Not while they're together dating or even engaged. There's not a husband and wife in engagement. It's after you say, I do. That's when it starts. Conception is another step in the physical relationship. Psalm 127 tells us God's plan is to rear children to know God. His reward is to conceive children. When it happens in families who are godly families that cannot conceive, adoption is also an option that we see in Scripture. We've seen pictures of it all through the Bible. Then we looked at safeguards for right morals, standards on physical contact. We looked in 1 Corinthians 7, the phrases there, not to touch in verse number 1. In chapter 6, we saw that God owns our body. We are the temple of the living God, temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to consider that amongst everything else. There is appropriate touch, but it non-sensual. That's what God wants us to exercise in our conduct with each other. Spiritual and intellectual growth is encouraged, but sensual touch is not. Obviously, it leads up to sex. Confine romantic and sexual touch to my marriage. That's what 1 Corinthians 7 is all about. Then we looked at strong and growing physical relationship in marriage, where the Bible tells us there in verse number Oh, let's go look. Verse 3, I think it is, right? 1 Corinthians, let's go there. I think it's verse 3. Yes. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Benevolence meaning to give, be unselfish. And that is part of that growing physical relationship between the husband and wife. Avoid the strange woman. And this doesn't say there's no men out there who are trying to do strange things. As we saw in Proverbs, it leads to devastation, Proverbs chapter 5. We need to guard against the visuals and places that are purposed for sexual impurity. And we need to find love, the love that is romantic type love, and satisfaction only in our spouse, and how God leads through that. Proverbs 5 is pretty clear. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Let's take a look at this passage and then we'll pray. Proverbs chapter 1. I want to continue on the safeguards tonight. We'll finish with them, I should say. So we need standards on physical contact. That helps us follow right morals. Safeguard is a strong and growing physical relationship in our marriage, in the marriages of our families. And then number 3 here, seeking and applying God's, here's the blank, wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's take a look at verse 20 to 33. So a pretty good passage. I'm going to ask if you'll read responsively. I'll read verse number 20. If you'd read 21, we'll go back and forth. Verse 33 is where we will stop. Proverbs chapter 1, talking about seeking and applying God's wisdom. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Okay, thank you. So here in Proverbs 1 and other passages, we're going to look at some of them. Wisdom is personified, and as it shares who it is, you know, what it does and so forth, it tells us that God's wisdom cries out to all, whether those that are looking for him or not. The Bible says that God's wisdom cries out to all. Listen, follow me so that you can avoid destruction. Is there a verse in the New Testament that tells us that God wants to see souls not be destroyed? Is there any verse in the New Testament you can think of that might follow that? For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This lines right up with that, his wisdom. We want to look at that tonight. And then another step at the bottom there. But let's go ahead and pray as we look at seeking and applying God's wisdom as a safeguard for right morals. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we have the book of wisdom in front of us, Lord. And help us not to just cast it aside or let it go for a day or two, just as we wouldn't let anything go to help keep us going through our day. Physically wise, we need spiritual food all the time. We pray, Father, that you'd use that even tonight. Help us to gain a greater love and desire for your wisdom, and perhaps even to share that in a way that might be appealing to someone else who needs it tonight. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Safeguard, seeking and applying God's wisdom. God's wisdom tells us, cries out to all. The Bible talks about this, it personifies as a woman standing out in the street crying out for anybody who would listen, you know, follow the truth, follow what's right. Follow me in the sense of I'm going to lead you to what is correct and not destructive. Wisdom of God is what it is referring to, and God's wisdom has never let us down. Amen. God's wisdom. And even though, would you say, there's people who aren't saved, and if you ask them to come on Easter Sunday, they didn't come, but they have a measure of wisdom. There's something they can look at in life and say, you know what, if I go that way and do that, that's foolish to do that. I'm not going to do that. There are things in God's creation, he shows us, that are wise to follow. Now, I believe this is more specific, you know, the wisdom of God, not just the wisdom that he shows in creation that we can all see. But he certainly is crying out. He's putting out the call, to follow God's wisdom. Pursuing God's wisdom and plan leads to his, let's take a look, Proverbs chapter 8. I do have some other passages here who could help. Proverbs 18:22. Who would look up Proverbs 18:22? Daryl's going to do that while we're looking in chapter 8. Proverbs 19:14. Who would take that? Bob, thank you, sir. And then Abigail, Proverbs 31:28. Thank you. We're in Proverbs chapter 8. Take a look. Verse number 33 is where we want to go. And I'll read here verses 33 to 35. Pursuing God's wisdom and plan leads to his, here's the blank, I don't know if I gave it, favor. Hear instruction, verse 33, and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. God's clear here, as we follow his wisdom and his instruction, we can look forward to his favor and his blessings. Does that mean everything's going to go our way all the time? Well, it hasn't for me. Maybe it has for you, but part of that is simply, all right, it's going to force us to go to God more. It's going to force us to look to him more and depend on him, etc., his wisdom and guidance. And he says, I want to give favor in that regard. One of the ways he shows favor is in marriage. Should we be looking for marriage according to the Bible? No, we should not. We should be looking to follow God's plan. And if his plan includes that, here's what he says we can look to forward to. Proverbs 18:22.
Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and will obtain favor of the Lord.
All right, thank you. You know what, it's interesting how the Bible says that if he finds a wife, he finds a good thing, but it doesn't exactly say she finds a good thing, but we can understand that the favor is shared with both. Proverbs 19:14.
House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Okay, praise God for that. A gracious, prudent wife. Proverbs 31:28 also. That's the virtuous woman chapter. Okay, so praise God that marriage is one of those things in life that God shares his favor in, especially as we seek him in that relationship. So pursuing God's wisdom, whatever it is, and plan leads to his favor. Again, the Bible encourages us to pursue God's plan, and part of his plan can include marriage, but we're going to look at another passage here in a minute. It may include not marriage, not being married, and we'll look at that later on. Here's some encouragement from God's word to consider. The line there, discard the strange woman characteristics. Strange woman characteristics. We see this in our society today. As we read through them, you will say, yes, I do see that in a lot of the generation today. Let's take a look. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's start there. Now, these characteristics aren't exclusive to women. Some of the things, of course, are about the sensual woman in Proverbs chapter 7 and chapter 2 and so forth, but some of the things apply to men as well. Let's take a look at them. Things to discard in our characteristic, if we are dealing with that and it's in our personality, we need to change that. Chapter 2, verse 16, take a look. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Her words. What's the old saying? Flattery will get you. But it's not true. It's not true, is it? People who flatter, or they say, oh man, that was really great. You know, and genuinely, giving a compliment is a blessing. But sometimes it's more than just a blessing. It's try to manipulate or win favor from you to get you to do something else that they want. That's what it's talking about. Flattered words, forwardness, not holding back, but just striving in a sense to manipulate with words. Another characteristic to discard is in chapter 2 here, verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Characteristic of abandoning any godly training. Godly training. Who is responsible, first of all, who is responsible for godly training? For you. Who was that? Your parents, your mom, and your dad. Maybe they didn't provide the most godly training, but if they loved you, there was somewhat an example that they shared with you. And certainly God uses others, but he says here, and I think specifically in verse number 17, he's referring to the parents, who forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. We need to discard that kind of a characteristic if that's where we're at. Hey, you don't get to pick and choose your parents. Nope. I didn't. and there's things that, I wish were different. I think there's things that they wish were different. And I say that because guess what? I wish I were a little different as a parent in some ways, and some of the things that we've brought the kids up with. And, we can laugh together some with our older children a little bit now. And it's really fun to sit back and watch them with their kids now. Oh, I know where you're at. I've been there. And God wants us to learn at any stage of life, but certainly the responsibility of the child is to obey and honor. And God wants us to consider that. And how we can do that, sometimes we need God's what? What are we talking about? Wisdom. We need God's wisdom. Because everything in the world tells us these people aren't worth it. But God says, listen, you follow me. I'll help you. I'll help you do something that will honor me as you honor them and how I lead you. Abandon any godly training. That's a characteristic of a strange woman. Number 3, let's go to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7. And verse number 10. This is speaking of a young man, who is described as, it doesn't really give us a description of him other than he's out in the street, he's looking out, he sees a woman, and she comes over to him to try and draw him into immorality. Verse number 10, the Bible says, well, let me start with verse number 8. He's a young man, verse 7. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. We'll read some more after that. Another characteristic of the strange woman is this, provocative clothing, with the idea that it's going to draw attention in a sensual way. in the way she dresses. Take a look at verse number 11. Let's continue reading. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And what type of a characteristic is that? She invites sensuality. She invites it. She seeks it out. And here in this example in the Proverbs, she finds a young, simple man, just one who has never done this before, but yet finds himself literally under attack. It's time to get out. And the rest of the chapter talks about that. Get away. You're like a bird in a trap, ready to lose their life. It's these characteristics. Again, the strange woman is the phrase that's used to describe this person, not wisdom, but the strange woman. But these can describe men or women today. Forwardness, abandoning godly training, any godly training, provocative clothing. You think guys can wear things they shouldn't wear? Invite sensuality. All these things are things to be discarded and avoided as much as possible. It's a safeguard. It's a safeguard. Seeking and applying God's wisdom. Let's go to the next one. Rely on God's power in your proper gift. We were in 1 Corinthians 7. Let's go back there, please. 1 Corinthians 7. Got some other passages if I can have some help, please. Galatians 5, 16. Who would read Galatians 5, 16? All right, Vicki, thank you. Then we have Psalm 127. We'll finish with that one. Psalm 127, verses 1, 2, and 3. How about Sister Carolyn over here? Thank you, sir. Carolyn. Yeah, Sister Carolyn's going to read that one for us. Psalm 127, the first three verses. And then we should all be in 1 Corinthians, right? Chapter 7, I'm coming. And let's take a look at verse 7 and 8. Rely on God's power in your, and here's what the Bible calls it, proper gift. Take a look. Verse number 7. Let me start with verse 6, actually. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. What is he talking about? He's not married. He's single. As I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man or person hath his proper gift of God, every one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. He's talking about God's power and the proper gift. Proper gift means what he's chosen for you, what God's plan is for you. And you might say, well, I didn't choose this. But if God has brought you to this point, you need to consider God's plan and continue to follow it. But the truth of the matter is, you can't do it without his help. You can't do it properly without his help. The proper gift meaning your gift, your own gift. Galatians chapter 5 tells us everything we do, we need God's help. Verse 16 of Galatians 5.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Okay, thank you. Galatians 5:16, written to people who are single or people who are married. What do you think? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill, so that you shall not feel the lust of the flesh. Written to single people or married people? Both. You got it. Trick question. You guys are smart, you know. Both. Yeah, yeah. It's the relationship type, as long as it's biblical, is not the issue. It's how we walk in it is the issue. God's power. Are we following through in this power of the Spirit? Let's go to Matthew 19. Jesus had some interesting commentary on this issue. Matthew 19 and verse number 9 is where we're going to start. Verse 9. Now he was asked about divorce. Let's take a look at it. Verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Well, if this happens, then we should avoid marriage altogether. But he said unto them, verse 11, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs, that is, those that would not be married at all in their life, which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some, not able to bear children, is what he's talking there, were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Physically, they probably have all things working, but God has led them to the point where they say, I will not have a marriage in order to follow your plan for my life, God, you've shown me that. Kingdom of heaven's sake, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. God's power is needed. Here's the blanks. For the single and celibate life, it's pretty clear about that. We need God's power no matter what stage we're in, but God says he wants to provide that for us. If the Lord's led that, praise God. He's got some great things to work through a person in that situation. But God's power is also needed for marriage and family. And here we read about that in Psalm 127, verses 1 through 3. Okay, thank you. So wherever stage we're in, God says, look to me. Look to me. Look to my Holy Spirit. As we know today, God's Holy Spirit is active all the time. If we submit to him, we'll make some good decisions and wise decisions. But rely on God's power in your proper gift. If God's chosen that celibate life for you, praise God. He's got some great things. If he's chosen marriage, then follow his plan. By the way, you know who you marry, why you marry, all those things, that comes into play too. That's important, according to God's word. But we're just looking at safeguards tonight for right morals. I trust this has been a help to you. Next week, we'll look at the next one, the next command, number nine, getting close to number 10. Number eight. And we'll share more about that. But let's go thank God, ask his help as we strive to safeguard our life for him.